out here, your boy Anthony. Yo, Anthony Delgado, directly from PR, another fellow New Yorker, you know, doing moves out here. And you already know, it's your boy Joe, back at it again, codingphase.com. Your boy is back and I done did it again, one more time. So yeah, introduce yourself, Anthony, what's good?
Yo, so what's going on, Coding Phase? What's good? My name is Anthony Delgado. I've been a software developer and serial entrepreneur for the last 10 years. And yeah, man, I'm super humble, super happy to be on the show, bro. When I found your content, I was like, wow, it's like a real New York dude, like a real New York dude that's out here that's talking about code. And like me, like my whole thing is like nerds should be like a like that's a bad stereotype. Like, that should be a racial slur. Like, yeah. You call me a nerd, I want to punch you in the face. So, like, when I found your content, I was so excited, and I'm super excited to be on your show, bro.
Yeah, man. That's one of the things, man, where when I got into this game, you know, nobody was doing this. You know, I'm from the block. You know, it's like, you can't be like, yo, son, I got this new skills, JavaScript, son. And it's like, they're going to be looking at you like, yo, bro, we out to the strip club. I'll see you later. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't trying to hear that, you know? But yeah, man, straight from New York, you know, that's where I'm from, Queens. You know, what part of New York you're from?
So my family's originally from the Bronx, and then I lived in Westchester, and this is probably the most thugged out story, and that's why I wanted to tell it on your show. So I haven't really told this story publicly before. So basically, I've been coding, I've been doing my thing since I was a little kid. My mom was actually coding, and I grew up in Jersey, right across the water, in West New York, New Jersey, like right across the water. And so my mom was coding in the 80s. I had a computer when I was in second grade. I was like the first kid with the internet. I was making websites when I was a little kid. And then, like, obviously, like you said, you're going to the street life. So I was selling drugs. I was selling weed. I was selling sneakers. I was selling T-shirts. I was selling everything to make a buck. And then I tell this story. When I was 16, I used to sell mixtapes, and I used to sell them in the street. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 17, 18, I got an Amazon and an eBay account. And I went from making $50 a week selling mixtapes to $2,000-$3,000 a day selling mixtapes on eBay and Amazon.
Wow.
And that was back when, like, the 50-cent shit was popping, and, you know, the mixtape wave was really heavy. And, yeah, I went from, like, hey, you want to buy a mixtape in fucking high school to making $3,000 a day on eBay and Amazon selling mixtapes. So I've always used the internet, but I always use it to make money. I never saw myself like a coder or a nerd, JavaScript developer. I didn't even know that shit existed. You know what I mean? Like, and back then, I'm 33. Back then, when I was 18, there wasn't even a Google headquarters in New York. Mm-hmm. All that stuff was in California. That stuff wasn't even really out here. So we didn't really have exposure to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's like the same thing for me. Like, my first website was like at 14. I did like a Dragon Ball Z website, and it was crazy because I had uploaded like all the movies they had. You know, you're a little kid, you don't even know about copyright or nothing. So I had this, my mom bought like this little machine to be able to connect it to the VHS. So I had all the Dragon Ball Z movies. So I copied it, made it into a real player. I don't know if you remember that.
Real player with the little blue logo. Yeah.
So I used the real player to create files, and then I put it up online. So that's how you was able to watch video. There was no YouTube back then. We're talking like 2000, you know, 99, 2001, around there. Like, there was nothing. So I uploaded all these videos, and yo, in 1 month, I got 500,000 users in there. And it was just flooded. I guess every kid in America was like, yo, let me get that Dragon Ball Z, son. So I was hype. I was like, yo, telling my other friends, they're like, yo, I got 500,000 people in here. They're like, man, they don't even care about that, right? Next thing you know, I got a letter from the FBI. They're like, yo, listen, yo, bro, you know that letter you get from like the ISP? They're like, yo, if you don't cut that shit out, son, you going to jail. And you know, had you seen that movie? Was it Hackers, the movie? Yeah. And you're like, oh man, I don't want to go through that, what that guy went through. So I said, I deleted everything. I got off the internet for like probably to like 2021.
Just stopped using the internet. You're like, I'm done with the internet.
I just stopped doing websites. I was like, yo, I'm getting too crazy with it. And then, like, I was doing music with, you know, I was producing, and you know, I went through like a whole phase of like producing music for artists. I work with a lot of like reggaeton artists like Zion Lennox, Arcángel de la Ghetto. I did like a lot of stuff over there. And then by the time I was like 2021, I had gotten like in a crazy contract where the person who had quote unquote signed me pretty much owned all my music. And I said, you know what? F this. I'm never doing music again. And I just left it again.
You said, own my music. I'm done. I quit.
Yeah, I said, I don't want to do it because it was like a contract for like 10 years. So I was like, I'm like 19 years old. I got to wait until 21 to 29. So I was like, forget this. I'm out of here. So I left that alone. And then I went back to school. I was like, you know what? You know, in my head, I was like, you know what? What I'm going to do is I want to just wear a suit, go to an office, and, you know, get that, you know, that vibe when you go to like, you know, Wall like Street, corporate shit, right? So that was my dream at that point. And I said, okay, cool. So I started doing like IT in school. I went to LaGuardia Community College, right? Which is the worst. Nobody should ever go to LaGuardia. it's by Long Island City. It's right there by Long Island City, like the first stop. It's like nobody, if you're from New York, stay away from LaGuardia Community College. What they do in there, they do a whole bunch of games to make sure they eat up your financial aid. And then by the time you go to your four-year school, you don't got no more financial aid. They ate it up, you know? So, you know what I mean? So that's what happened to me, whatever. And then I did like IT for like 6-7 months. And I was like, man, this is like the worst job ever. Cause you're like a janitor. You're the computer janitor. Like some shit got messed up. Yeah,
you're crawling under the table to plug the shit in. Install the printer, like mad silly stuff.
Yeah. So I was like, F that, man. I'm out of here. And, I had like, I was like hustling. I was doing like, not Amazon, but I was doing like eBay. So what I would do is at that point to survive, cause I say, I want to freaking learn how to code. Right. I freaking just went and started selling shit on eBay. So I would go to like the Goodwill in the city where the rich dudes be living at, and they're like throwing away Gucci, the Fendi t-shirts, the freaking the Evisu jeans. They would throw it out, right? So what I would do, I'd go over there, boom, cop them shits for $20, flip them right back on the internet for $200, $300, like clean them up, and then that's it, just get my money. With that, I survived for like a whole year while I was learning to code. I was like, yo, this shit is all right. But I didn't want to continue doing it because I was like, man, I'm always going. I felt dirty. I felt like I'm picking up somebody's garbage and then reselling it, you know? Well,
me, so it's funny you mentioned Evisu. So I used to sell Evisu jeans too, but I used to get the bootleg joints in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. And we used to get them joints for like $10.
23rd Street.
All day, right? I used to run an auction. And then eBay has this thing called Second Chance. And I was Second Chance everybody. Everybody like over like $50 was getting a second chance. And and yeah, so I did a lot of eBay and Amazon when I was young. But then I started feeling like I wasn't making money because like I still had to buy stuff. Yeah. You know, and then sometimes you'll buy something and it doesn't sell and you get stuck with it and all this. And it was like kind of like a rat race. And then at the same time, I was like, eBay started shutting me down. That's what it was. eBay started shutting me down for selling the fake shit, right? And so I was like, fuck eBay. I'm going to make my own website, right? So I made my own website. And then that website started to blow up. And then I made a store in person. So I had an in-person store.
Wow.
And I ran that for like a year or two. Business got a little slow. Some dudes actually went in and like burglarized the store when I wasn't there. And mad bullshit happened. I was like, you know what? I'm going to sell the store. So I flipped the store. It was actually a come up for me because I had never sold a business before. I flipped the store and then I was like, all right, I'm going everything online, right? And then at the same time, they sent an undercover police officer into my store and they had him ask, oh, do you know where I could get some weed? And I gave him one person's phone number. And because of that one person, I got a conspiracy charge.
Wow.
And that conspiracy charge ended up leaving for me to move to New York City because I went on the run. So I moved to New York City.
And don't worry.
I lived in New York City for 5 years, 100% coding. I was learning to code while I was on trial. So when I was on trial, I'm learning to code. And then they're like, all right, you got to go to jail. I was like, do they have computers in jail? Because I'm learning to code right now. Like, I want to keep, like, you can lock me up. It's fine. Just put me in there with a laptop. And they're like, no. So I was like, all right, fuck this. Boom. So I go to New York. And then I was living in New York for 5 years. And I started making money, making websites for people. like I can't get a regular job because I don't want the freaking cops to find me. I'm just going. I used to go to every local business and I'd just be like, hey, what's up? How you doing? I make websites, I'll make you a website for $500. Just give me $250 now, $250 when it's done. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. And I was just going to every local business. Hey, can I make a website? Can I make a website? Meanwhile, I got fucking warrants. I used to go to the grocery store. I go to Whole Foods and I'm laughing. I'm like, I'm free right now. It's lit. Like, they ain't never going to find me. And I was out there. I was in New York City for 5 years. For 5 years, making all my money online. Coding. I had a website called unreleasedhiphop.com.
Nice.
And I used to put all the leaks. When the new Lil Wayne would come out, I would put it on there. The Drake. All that stuff. And I started making money from Google Ads.
Mm-hmm,
I was making at one point like $2,000 to $3,000 a day off of Google Ads. Like that day that the Drake album would drop or the Lil Wayne album would drop, boom, I'm making $3,000 just on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever, long story short, I did consulting. I worked with this one company called Cranium Fitteds. We built that into a multi-million dollar company. And I'm just making a little website. But all of a sudden that website took off for them. Mm-hmm. And long story short, I ended up throwing a big ass party in my house. The cops came, got raided. I went to jail. So I'm in jail, but the whole time I'm in jail, I'm getting checks from Google.
Wow.
Google AdSense was sending me money the whole bid.
I'm just cashing in. I'm like, yo, I got a bag waiting for me.
Yes.
Wait till I hit the block.
And so I'm hood rich. Everybody's like, oh, what you here for? Like one bag of weed. And motherfuckers is in there for like all sorts of crazy stuff. Oh, attempted murder, burglary, bank robbery, all this crazy stuff. And so, but I'm hood rich, so I'm ordering mad magazines. I'm ordering mad books. I read mad books. Bro, I came out. Motherfuckers like, did you go to college? How did you come out?
Dude is in there like, yo, I got this, son. What up? who won what right here, man? Yo, I'm throwing this. I'm doing a freaking cake right now. We're doing a cake. Dudes start picking up the chocolate chips. It's like, yo, let's cook. It's like, yo, let's cook something up here, son.
Oh man, I feel like you took a vacation or two in your life. But yeah, man. So I did my little bit. It wasn't that bad. It was like 18 months, and then I came out and I was on the bracelet. So I had a freaking bracelet on my ankle and they were like, get a job or go to jail. And I was like, all right, well, I don't want to go back to jail. That's for sure. I will never, ever let that happen to me ever again. Mm-hmm. And I know I had said I never want to get a job. I'm a lifelong entrepreneur, lifelong hustler. But you know what? It's time to get a job. But I'm not going to go and get a job like all these freaking people in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I'm in an office. So I was actually blessed. The one company that I did consulting with, he showed up at the court when they were releasing me, and he showed up in a suit, and he's like, yo, bro, this guy made me millions of dollars. I will hire him the minute he comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute I came out, I was blessed. I had a job with him. I worked in his office for about 6 months. Wow. Then Hurricane Sandy happened. A lot of his shit got damaged, and long story short, he laid me off. And then the same thing, just like you, I got a job in the IT consulting.
Mm-hmm.
And, bro, the job wasn't that. It wasn't the greatest job. I was only making $14 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that everybody else that was on parole, them motherfuckers was in McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
They were working at UPS. So I'm showing up with a suit every day. I'm like, bro, we out here. I don't even care. They were just like, all I had to wear was a polo. I'm showing up with a full suit and tie. I'm like, yo, we out here. I'm going to rock out this job at least until the parole's over. So I did that whole job and I learned a lot. Like I learned about like corporate IT. I didn't know nothing about that. So I learned about like email servers. We worked with big ass clients like Armani, LG, like a lot of big clients. So I was getting an education. And, you know, eventually I got raises and I got moved up in the company. But I never took it as like I'm only making $14 an hour. I was like, no, this is my opportunity of a lifetime. Other motherfuckers are in McDonald's. Other motherfuckers are homeless. Other motherfuckers is fucked up. And I get to go into a nice building that's air conditioned, put my little headphones on, chill on the computer all day, answer the phone, do a little IT stuff, maybe go to the city and do some IT stuff, and I'm good, right? So a lot of people and people that I was working with, they wasn't like that. They didn't have that attitude. They all had a bad attitude because they wasn't grateful. But me, I was coming from being in a cage. So I was so grateful. I was like, yo, I'm going to be the best IT guy ever, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, that sounds similar to like my first job, you know. I hear people that come in and be like, man, my first job was like xyz.com or this and that. I'm like, yo, my first job was literally like a warehouse where we went in and like what I used to do, because I had the experience of eBay and, you know, and Amazon and Rakuten and all that stuff, right? So, and I knew HTML, CSS. At first, before I even go into that, at first I tried to get into Twitter, I tried to get into Tumblr, and I went into the interviews and the people that liked me, but I wasn't ready because at those companies, the level of engineering is higher than just making a website.
Yeah, like, it's different.
It's different. It's a different ball game, right? And what they want is somebody who has experience. They're not looking really for somebody to be like, hey, man, we're going to train you. Like, you know how to code. You got the skills. You know how to make the websites. But the process of, you know, using Git, using, or, you know, working in you know, source control environment, freaking testing, doing this and that, I didn't come from that.
Yeah, MVP, model view controller,
yeah,
all this so, fancy coding language.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't have that at that moment. So, you know, I say I was a little bit depressed. You know, I went to Twitter, turned down. Went to Tumblr, turned down, right? And now I'm like, man, I busted my ass learning all of this frameworks and all this JavaScript and all this HTML, CSS, and I could build any website that they throw at me, but I need that opportunity. I need somebody to hire me. So then whatever I don't know, I could pick it up from there. So what I did was I applied to some company called like ZM Distribution or something like that in Brooklyn. And they took me in, right? So I'm grateful that they took me in because that gave me that stamp. It wasn't Joe, the IT guy, Joe, the guy that used to work at as the freaking parking attendant at Queen Center Mall. It was no longer that, but now looking at, hey, developer, content editor. So now it looks good on your portfolio, on your resume, when somebody comes in and says, okay, so somebody already took the chance on him. So we don't have to worry about that. You know, that's like the hardest thing when it comes to becoming a developer, for somebody to give you that first opportunity. But once you're in, you're in. And, you know, and for me, I was getting there like $13 an hour. But what people don't get is like, I was looking at that as a come up. It's like, yo, from here is to the top. This is like just to open the doors. This is just, hey, man, it's like somebody's closing the door on you and you put your foot on it. You're like, hold on, son, let me get a chance. And then they opened it up a little bit for you. That's how I feel for that job. And it's like, yo, it just opened so much doors. Because after that, a whole bunch of recruiters hit me up. A whole bunch of other companies wanted me. And my money, like, literally triple, you know, because I was making like the next company I was making like $30-something, you know. So from 13 to 30 is like, yo, that's a jump.
That's a jump. Know? Yep.
So
well, and that's the importance of like branding, right? Mm-hmm. Like you gotta put it out there. Yo, I'm a software developer. Like, that's who I am. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I remember I used to walk around with a resume in the beginning. It said like marketing mastermind, and mm-hmm. then I switched it up, and I was like software developer, and then that's how people was receiving me. Mm-hmm. And one of the other hacks that I did is I took all the little websites that I had done. I put them on my resume, but I put it almost, it looks like a job. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I put it like under experience. It's not necessarily that I worked there, but still mm-hmm. I built their website, mm-hmm. you know? And so that was like kind of like a little hack that I used, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it is a different game, you know, especially we come from that game of just getting it done, right? Yo, I'm just going to throw up this website. I'm gonna learn on the fly. I'm going to do this tutorial, you know, mm-hmm. but then you go to like Twitter, some of these bigger companies, and they want you to kind of speak that language.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So that's like the thing. And I feel like a lot of those companies, it takes just experience to get there. I tell people all the time, like anybody can work at any of these companies. It's just, you got to go and play their ball. You know what I mean? It's like you can't show up to the NBA doing N1 moves and doing crazy shit. Like, nah, this is the NBA. You know what I mean? It's like you got to do it how the NBA plays. You can't just, this is not street ball. So when you're learning at home.
The person that's playing street ball, how many games did they play for free?
Yeah, exactly.
They were playing for free for 30 years, 20 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. College was free. High school was free. Then you get a check. Yeah, and everybody wants to come in. They want to get a bag right away.
I've seen some crazy situations where people come in and like, let's say for example, like I had a guy who he worked as an accounting, right? And he was earning like $60,000 or something like that in Florida. And then he sent me an email. He's like, man, I want to become a developer, but there's a company that wants me to do WordPress and they're only paying me $50,000. Right now in my head, I'm thinking, bro, take that job. It's $10,000 less. You switching careers. They giving you an opportunity. Nobody knows you from a hole in the wall. Nobody knows what you can do. Go in there, get your experience, do like 6 months, apply somewhere else, and move on. And then you double or triple your money. You know what I mean? But everybody wants to get those big jobs. That's $90,000, $100,000. I didn't get to those type of offers till like my third year. You know what I mean? Like, it just is growth. You know, it's like it's growth. You gotta, you know, you gotta build yourself up. You know, and I always tell people that it's like, yo, you gotta work from the bottom. This idea that people think like you only want the thing on the top. It's like, nah, that thing is gonna come to you. You know, it's like right now, like all these years, right? I've been working for companies, but I never stopped working on like my own passive income. I have niche websites. I have CSS generated websites where I have Google AdSense in there, right? I have websites where all I have is just affiliate links. It's like, hey, we're reviewing tablets and this, this, and that. And then affiliate links, I get paid from Amazon, right? Now, if I didn't start that when I first came into the game, by now I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now. You know what I mean? It's like you got to think the long-term game. It's just like any career. Anybody that wants to become a doctor, that's a 10-year plan. You know what I mean? That's not something that you say, oh, I'm going to just get a little bachelor's and that's it. It's, nah, this is a 10-year plan.
Or go to a coding boot camp.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and even like a
coding boot camp. People take a three-month course and then they think, oh, okay, I want $100,000 right now. Like,
it's not like that. It's like they give it to, it's not saying like it doesn't happen, but they give it to like the 1% of the 1%. Like, and then these companies, they use that as like, holy shoot, we got $100,000 offer for one student. And it's like, how many students been here? Well, 1,000, you know, it's like, cool. So it's like the 1% of the 1%. You know what I mean? Like, don't tell me the stories of like the successful stories of like the 1%. Show me what's the average. What's like the average person that comes in here is getting? You know, that's a more realistic approach, because then you don't get so excited for that big price. And if that big price comes to you, that's a blessing. It's not something that you're expecting, you know?
Exactly. You don't feel entitled, right?
Yeah.
It messes up their mindset because they go and they don't want to take the job that they actually are supposed to be at. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go and take that junior role, that intern role, whatever, to earn their stripes, to work their way up. They're like, oh, no, I'm supposed to get $100,000. Okay, you're going to be unemployed. You're going to end up having to switch careers because you're going to get rusty from waiting in the unemployment line and not learning.
Yeah. You know? I tell people all the time, like, you, it's better. Look, it's like right now, I have on my website, codingphase.com. I'm teaching people how to do HTML emails, right? There's a lot of jobs for that, right? But it's not something sexy. It's not like when somebody comes in and says, hey, guys, let's learn React only. And you know, this is something sexy, but there's a lot of competition there. And when you're just starting, most likely you're not going to get that position because you need that experience, right? You need to build yourself up. A company is to give you an opportunity, et cetera, right? But if you're at home and you know HTML, CSS, what you're doing at home, there's a job out there that you could be using those skills already, what you have, and get $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for that. And then the more experience you have
experience and have on your resume, yo, I worked at this tech company. I had applied for an email marketing job at Amazon before,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the only reason they rejected my resume because I had a typo. So spell check your resume. But I would have took it in the beginning, bro. I would have took it in a heartbeat and it paid good. I think it paid like $90,000.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah.
And just email templates. But then I could work my way up at Amazon or mm-hmm. I could go somewhere else and be like, yeah, I worked at Amazon. I was a software mm-hmm. developer. I was a web developer at Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know I'm only working on emails.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the thing. That's where people, they don't understand that. You just got to work yourself up and understand that everybody has to pay their dues, okay? There's people that get it right away, but it's like the lottery, okay? Do you want to play the lottery or do you want something that's secure? You know, it's like right now I'm doing some advertising, right? For, you know, version 3 of codingphase.com, right? So I've been doing codingphase.com, doing my courses, doing everything, but I haven't done no marketing, no Facebook ads, no nothing. It's just, this is just organic, you know, organic traffic that comes to my website, right? Now I'm going to step it up. now I'm doing a commercial for this thing, right? And the first thing I tell people is like, yo, this ain't about you becoming a millionaire. This is not about you freaking, you know, coding from the beach. What I'm teaching you is the things to get a job, right? Get a job and get you started. And then from there on, wherever you want to get to, that's your personal journey, okay? My job is not to get you to become a millionaire. My job is to get you into the position to say, hey, man, I'm able to pay my bills. I'm able to, you know, have everything under control, have my credit up, you know, be able to save money. If I could get you into a $70,000, $80,000 position, I'm good. You know, whatever comes after that, that's a blessing for you. That's what you need to work on. You know, if you want to become an entrepreneur, that's your goal and your journey that where you need to get to next. Right. But what I can guarantee is that I can get you into a job and get you in there with everything that you need ASAP, you know. So,
well, and the other crazy thing, like everybody wants to be a millionaire, right? But like $200,000 a year, that's 2% of the population.
Yeah.
So that's like if you got a job that's 100, 150, like you're in the top class of all the people in the world. And then if you want to fact, that's only in the country, you want to mm-hmm. fact in the rest of the world. People living in Africa, people living in Haiti, people living in all these places around the world. Bro, you're privileged. Just making 90,000, you're privileged. With 90,000, you could get a really nice car. You have a really nice place. You have a fucking beautiful wife, beautiful family life. You know what I mean? You could have a great life with 90,000. Mm-hmm. And if you're making 90,000 and you're happy, it's much more valuable than you making 400,000 or a million and you're miserable.
Yeah, no, and that's one of the things where I tell people all the time, like right now, you know, like I'm pretty lucky that I feel like I started doing everything that I'm doing now a long time ago. So it's like everything that's coming in now is like blessings that's extra, right? I always say, you know, if I get to $50,000, I'm good because I have the hood mentality where it's like, yo, my mom made $35,000 a year for almost her whole life since she got here. You know, that's like the maximum that she's made every year. She's like a teacher assistant. That's it. That's as much as she's going to go. And now they give her a boost after 20 years. They're like, well, now you make 42,000. It's like, where was that extra boost when we was around? You know what I mean? But now they just gave it to her. I'm like, after mad years. So in my head, I was like, yo, if I get to 50,000 and I'm able to buy my Jordans, I'm able to get my own apartment, I'm good. Next thing I got, you know, to 80, 100,000, that's a blessing. Then everything after that, I'm just saving it. I'm stacking it up. I don't even touch any of that. Everything that goes after 100, I just save it up because you always got to think about there's going to be a rainy day. Not everything's going to be perfect. I always hear stories of guys who be like, man, I was killing it in the 90s. You know what I mean? Some shit flips, and then now you effed up. So if you don't have that capital to maintain you, then you're going to be effed up. And in my head, I'm like, yo, just to be where I'm at, you know, I'm comfortable. I got a nice crib, got a nice family, nice car. I could buy whatever the hell I want. I'm in a big-ass office by myself. I don't have nobody in here. I have, like, interns that come in, like, once or twice a week if I want to. I'm like, man, just work from home. You know, like, they love me because they're like, man, I could work from home. Bro, stay at home, man. Let me do my videos here. You just do the emails and whatever, right? So they don't bother me. I don't bother them. But I used to be in a position where I used to work for somebody like this. And I wasn't like in a good position where I could be like, man, you know, can I take a day off or something like that? And it's like, nah, man, those people, they want to have you there 24/7, you know, working at the office and right there. Even though if there's nothing to do, they're like, they want you there because they want to see that you're working, you know, you're 40 hours a week. Now I'm looking at it. I'm like, yo, I'm chilling. Now I'm the boss. You know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy how everything that you work for at the end, if you plan your life out and you say, man, this is what I want, and you do it step by step, little by little, don't rush yourself. Don't think like all this shit got to come from one day to another. I've been doing this shit for what? Since 2011. We're in 2019. Okay. So it's a long time. Now, whatever comes in is a blessing, you know? So for the people that's watching this, just know that just keep on working, build yourself up. It's a long-term plan. You've never seen this. A few people that you might see, like, you know how you bump into like a guy who's like in the 20s, you know, who got like a Maserati, a Lamborghini. A lot of those guys are papi and mommy kids. You know, the dudes that's driving the Lambos, the Maseratis, the Rolls Royce, 90% of those guys, they're like in their 40s, 35 and up, you know, but they work hard. Those guys is not like, oh, this thing came from one day to another. They've been doing this for 10 years, 15 years. And then you see the, you know, the big freaking things coming to them. But that's just how it is.
Well, and the other thing is, like, a lot of them will end up broke, right? Like, even if you do hit big, you know, I have a lot of friends who had multi-million dollar exits, sold their companies, did all sorts of crazy stuff, and then 2 years later, they're broke because they spent half their money, and then they didn't know that Uncle Sam was going to come and take the other half, right? So, like, you could end up like Wesley Snipes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very possible. So the most successful people that I've seen, they're the ones that even though they're rich, they act broke.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Cardone says it. He's like, yo, I put all my money in the bank. I'm broke. Mm-hmm. My money's in the savings. I can't touch that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? On a day-to-day, I'm broke. I don't got it. Mm-hmm. You know? But the thing is, what you've been doing over these years is you've been planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Now those seeds are starting to grow and people are scared to invest in themselves. They only mm-hmm. want what's happening now. You know, when I went and I was making $14 an hour, that was an investment. Mm-hmm. That was an investment in myself because I knew that I could do better, you know? And so, yeah, so I was at the IT company. I quit. They offered me more money. I quit again. They offered me more money. And then by the third time, I was like, yo, listen, I got to go. I'm not coding enough here. Like, I had coded a little bit. I had coded some Twilio stuff. And then I got introduced to Twilio. I'm a huge fan of these guys. Mm-hmm. And I applied for a job with them. And I applied for a job with them, and then I applied for a job at a digital marketing agency. Mm-hmm. And I got an offer from the digital marketing agency, and then I went on the interview with Twilio while I was still with them. And he asked me, I will never forget this. He's like, all right, well, what do you know? Da-da-da. I was like, oh, I know PHP. He was like, what's Composer? And I was like, yo, to be honest with you, I don't know what it is, but I know that I could Google it and I could figure it the fuck out. Right. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't even in that frame of mind. Composer was new at that time. And I wasn't one of these MVP computer science kids. I didn't know what the fuck Composer was. Mm-hmm. Right. It was new at that time. And this is like 2014, 2015. And whatever, we went through the interview. Dude was real cool, real nice. And he was like, yo, good luck on that other job. Basically mm-hmm. letting me know in a nice way, like, mm-hmm. go take that digital marketing job and mm-hmm. get your shit up, get your stripes up. And so that's what I did. I went, I took the job at the digital marketing agency. And again, I was getting little pay raises. Every time I quit a job, I get a little pay raise, right? So I went into the digital marketing agency. I was chilling. I was making 60K, which was dope. And I was making 50K at the other place when I left. So I went from 50 to 60. And yeah, and it was just about like playing poker. You know what I mean? Like the dude, he was trying to get me for less. I was like, yo, listen, I'm making 60K right now in this IT company. So I'm not going to make less. You know what I mean? Because I was trying to go for like 75 or 90. Mm-hmm. So I had to play a little bit of poker, but I still ended up with 10K more. Mm-hmm. And I learned mad stuff. Again, I didn't take it as, oh, I'm not making enough. Oh, I got to wake up. No, I was putting in work. I was learning. And built mad different websites there. I learned Composer. I learned Laravel. I learned freaking NPM and SAS and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I got another job offer to go to Philly. And at this time, I was very good at branding myself. I had started my LinkedIn when I first came home. And my LinkedIn was like software developer. I had all the keywords in it, all my projects. Like, that shit was crazy. And so I got a job offer. And at the same time, I heard about the Rutgers Coding Bootcamp. And I had a choice. Am I going to take this coding bootcamp and invest in myself? Or am I going to take this job offer and make more money? And I chose to invest in myself. So I went through a 6-month program. Now, mind you, the people that go in the program, they don't know nothing. Mm-hmm. I've been coding already at that time for like 9 or 10 years. Even though I wasn't professional, mm-hmm. I wasn't like MVP fancy with it. I was still building websites since I was a little kid. So these kids are coming to the coding bootcamp. They don't even know what a terminal is. They don't even know what's HTML or nothing. So I'm like helping the kids. I'm tutoring them. I'm helping them. And then by the end of that program, Rutgers actually offered me a job to teach at the school. They were like, yo, bro, you killed it. Like, whatever. We started going to hackathons. I started taking them on field trips. I was organizing my old field trips. Like, yo, we going.
It's like, hold on, I got you, kid.
And started winning hackathons and shit, going crazy. And then, yeah, and then they offered me a job to teach there. And the only reason I didn't take it is because I had a different offer from this company called Founders. They were like a startup accelerator. They still are. They're in Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New Jersey is like, those of you who don't know, it's like the Camden or the Compton of New Jersey. It's a really rough neighborhood. And their whole thing was like, how could we bring startups and tech? How could we bring that to a neighborhood like Newark and make an impact? So like, we were working with kids that they're gang members. Like, there was this one kid who was 17 years old. You know, he was like selling drugs, doing all the stuff, getting locked up, going to juvie, doing all crazy stuff. And we, but we were in that community showing them, yo, there's another way besides just selling weed, besides just gang banging, besides just doing all this stuff. There's another way for you to actually make money and support yourself. Mm-hmm. You know,
nah, that's how, man. That's one of the things that I always be like, yo, it's like you gotta make a difference out here. You know, like companies like that, and even yourself, that you rather, you know, help people. Instead of probably taking a higher pay or working at a more corporate company, you're actually doing something that can help people in your community. Because that's the thing, like, for me, I always tell myself, like, man, what if, you know, what if I was in a different situation? Because, like, even right now, right before I talked to you, like, my eyes teared up because I was reading this thing on Twitter of this, let me see. Seven black students that got accepted to Stuyvesant, right? Out of 895, okay? And that's, like, for me, it effed me up inside because I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, people don't understand that those kids, there's not more black students in those schools. It's not because they're not smart. It's because the system has failed them. It's like, when you go to those high schools where you go around, you know, like I went to Grover Cleveland High School, which is in Richwood. And literally the when I was there, it was a 30% graduate on time. Like 30% of the people graduated on time. Everybody else is like summer school. That was like the norm. They're like, oh, yeah, I'll graduate in summer. I'll graduate next year. I got you. I'll see you guys around. You know what I mean? I seen dudes when I was a freshman, there were dudes that were like 19, almost 20 years old, like hanging out by the corner, smoking a cigarette. And it's like, dudes is mad grown. You know what I mean? I'm in a school where it's like the worst of the worst is in there. You know what I mean? And the schools were just so bad that how can you even, you know, even get anywhere. And even when I went to IS-93, for me, I remember practicing and applying to Stuyvesant, what is it, the other one? I think Brooklyn Tech. Like, there's a whole bunch of schools that are, like, the top of the high schools in New York City. And compared to the kids, I remember I went for a test at one of these high schools, and there were kids in there. They look like money. They look like they just came. They're brought from the Upper East Side. You know what I mean? Like, this kid is coming from, like, private schools, you know. I'm in there just with my MTA car, with a fitted on, like, yo, let's get it, right? I know I'm ready for this shit, but those kids is in there like, all right, cool, I'm going to do this, da-da-da, and pass their test, and they get accepted. A kid like me, right, or one of those other black kids that's in there, there's almost no chance for you to get into those schools because your middle school, your kindergarten was bad. Your middle school was bad. IS-93 failed you. Grover Cleveland failed you. There's no way you get into any of the schools. It's the same thing when I applied for high, not high school, college. You know, I got accepted to what's the name of Syracuse, right? And I'm like, how am I even going to go to Syracuse University when I don't even have nothing? If I go over there, I'm effed up. Like, I'm already, my mom is not going to be able to send me no money over there. Like, what the hell am I going to do over there? Right? So then it's like the system is already set up for you to just bump into a bullshit community college. So it's like now you're going through the same process you've been going through this whole time. And then it's like at the end of the day, how can people expect you to become more than what your environment sets you up for? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like it's very rare. You know, and even with this thing about technology and all of these things, like I remember I used to, there was like a computer class in high school, and I was like doing like a chat room. I created my own chat room, you know, with a little bit of JavaScript and like, you know, how you get a little snippet and you can put a chat room or whatever. I made a whole thing and everybody was in there. one of the teachers is like, yo, I don't want you doing this. What you're supposed to be doing is your this, this, and that. I'm like, I'm doing something advanced. Like, come in and clap for me. Be like, yo, you fucking doing something that's out of the norm, right? If it's some little Billy from the Upper East Side comes in and builds a bullshit chat room half as good as mine's, the parents is there, the teachers is like, man, this kid got a future, right? But it's the environment. So it's like, I was looking at this, I was like, man, we gotta make a difference. That's why I come here. There's days that I want to quit YouTube. I don't want to do YouTube no more. Because it's like, there's days I'm like, yo, I make more money without doing YouTube. Like, this thing takes so much of my time that I don't want to do it no more. But if I stop, there's nobody here that's gonna look like me, is gonna talk like me. That's it. It's gone. The whole inspiration for anybody that's gonna come here and search on YouTube web developer, they're gonna see people that don't look like them, don't talk like them, don't come from where they come from. So automatically in your head, you think, ah, that's for white people. That's for white people. Those are the only people that could do it, or that's for Asian kids, or the smart kids. Nah, you see a dude like me out here dabbing him, you know what I mean? Like, it's like automatically, like, I F with this kid, I like him. You know, if he did it, I could do it. You know what I mean? So we need that motivation. So it's really cool that you went to try to help those people with founders, because it makes sense. That's like something that I want to do too. I'll be thinking about it. I'm like, man, I would love to go back to New York or any other city here in the US where it's like really bad and make that into a tech hub, because that's how things change. If you show people what's possible, you know what I mean? Like, even hire people, it doesn't have to be like you are a developer, but hire them so they could be in the environment and see, like, oh, this is what they do, this is what happens in the office. Most people don't even know about that. You know, they don't even know about none of these things. It's like myself, when I started going to this job interviews and this and that, I would be nervous. I'll be like, man, hold on. This office is all glass. Hold on, kid. Am I looking good? Am I going to fit in? Because you've never been around that environment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's very important to try to make a difference out here, man, especially for the kids, and show them what's possible. You know, it's crazy.
Nah, it's true, man. Like, and you got to think, like, in our neighborhoods, I said this at the top of the show, like, they call you a nerd, right? If you're smart or you're doing something, like, I used to win the science fair when I was a kid. I won it like 3-4 times in a row. And what's people going to say? Oh, you're a nerd. Oh, da da da. I don't think they say that as much in the suburbs. It's not as much as of a stigma. And why should you make someone feel stupid for being smart? Why should you degrade somebody for actually being smart? What are we actually promoting? You know what I mean? And then I think the other thing, there's something in the tech culture right now that I really want to address. I want to talk to the people at Twitter, at Google right now. There's something that they call culture fit, yeah, right? And for me, what that means is that, oh, we want to hire black people. We want to hire Latinos. We want to hire minorities, but just act like a white person. Mm-hmm. Feel me? Yeah. My boy, he has he's part of an African-American like support group for like Afrotech. Right in New York City. And a lot of his boys work at Google. And all of them that work at Google, they wear a suit. They wear a button up every day. Mm-hmm. Mind you, every other developer is wearing a t-shirt. But they're like, nope, I'm not going to wear a t-shirt. I don't want to be a stereotype. I'm wearing a button up. Woo, 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 woo. I'm at Google. Right. And you talk to them and their slang changed, their language changed. They don't want you to actually be yourself.
Yeah.
I posted a video. We did a huge tech event out here in Puerto Rico. I posted a video of the after party that we did. The after party was on a boat, and we went to a freaking private island that's next to Puerto Rico, and people are dancing, and people are having fun. It's not twerking. Nobody's throwing money in the air. It really was very PG. Mm-hmm. But obviously, people are wearing bathing suits. I was wearing a bathing suit, so was everybody else in the boat. We're jumping off of a boat into water.
I got a
letter from one of my friends in Silicon Valley. I'm not going to say no names. But it was like, yo, I love you. And it was a love letter. It wasn't like on some hating shit. Mm-hmm. But he was like, yo, I love you. I appreciate what you're doing. It looks like everything that you did the past 10 years is coming to fruition. But I want to let you know that as somebody in Silicon Valley that writes these checks for these sponsorships, for these hackathons, a video like that is going to scare them away. And I'm just letting you know on the low. Nobody else is going to actually tell you, but I'm letting you know on the low. But for me, I'm like, dude, like, that's our culture. Latinos, we dance. We go to the beach. I'm in Puerto Rico, bro. It's hot out here. I'm sorry. We're going to go to the beach. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to stop going to the beach because you feel uncomfortable about it. Mm. And, like, even Latin culture and African-American culture, too. We listen to music. We dance. We have fun. We have a good time. You know what I mean? We're not breaking the law. We're not hurting anybody. So, for the fact that Silicon Valley wants to integrate you, they want you to come in, but then they want you to have a be a culture fit, which basically means they want you to be whitewashed. They don't want you to come in and actually be yourself. So I would love to see a narrative around not only increasing diversity in tech, not only checking that box of how many people are in tech, but who are those people? Where are they from? Is it a black guy? I'm sorry, this is offensive, but I don't care. Is it a black dude that got adopted by a white family and grew up in the suburbs? Is it the black dude that his parents went to Harvard that is Colin Powell's nephew or niece, and this dude has been privileged his whole life? Just because the color of your skin is a certain thing doesn't mean nothing. You know what I mean? Privilege comes in all shapes, forms, and sizes. Mm-hmm. So, like, are you actually recruiting people that come from urban neighborhoods that actually learn to code like yourself? People that come from the Bronx, Brooklyn, Newark, you know what I mean? Or are you just going to the kid that went to Harvard and then his parents went to Harvard and their parents went to Harvard, but he happens to be African-American because of his heritage? You know what I mean? Or he's Indian, so you could call him a minority, right? Yeah, they do that a lot, bro. They do that a lot. My boy, he's a billionaire, and he used to do jobs in Jersey, like really big real estate jobs, and they used to hit him up. Cory Booker and the African-American politics would hit him up because Indian checks that box of minority. And they're like, yo, we need a minority-owned business for this, and you got that money, so yo, let's do this. And they would hit him up. All right, bro. I can't say exactly who this dude is because I don't want
to. Don't worry. You don't have to throw no names.
He a dynasty family. He's one of these dudes that his parents been have money, like type of dude that like invented the zipper type of stuff. I'm not going to say what they invented, but they invented some stuff.
Yeah.
And like, bro, that's not a minority. That's not, you're not checking the box. Oh, just because he's Indian, that means he's a minority. No, you're not really helping anybody like that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, well, that's something that I actually brought up a couple of times here where, you know, there's a lot of companies where they say, man, we hiring minorities, right? And that's just a way to just like wash their hands off it and be like, we have a couple of minorities in here. And then you have Asians, you have Indians in there. And I'm not knocking them, right? 100%.
Because,
you know, those are my peoples, right? I love you guys. But what I'm saying is that the blacks and Latinos are being left behind. They're out of the picture. You know, they're out of the picture. There's very few guys that can get into the industry. And then on top of that, it's just like you said, then once you're in there, you can't really be yourself, okay? You know, even I myself, like, you know how I come here, I have fun, and I talk a certain way. I don't talk like that at work. People be coming in like that. People think that I come into interviews and be like, yo, you already know it's your boy Joe back at it again. Damn. Like, I don't do that in the meetings. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how it is. You in there, my name is Sean, basically. When I go into work, my name is Sean. You know what I mean? There is no Joe. My name might be Joseph. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, straight up. Like, when you're at work, and that's because you have to be a certain way. But you know what's crazy to me is, like, let's say African-American, Latino culture, right? You might have a little accent. You might have a little swag, a little sauce. You might have a little slur, a way you say things, right? If the Indian kid that could barely speak English, he speaks his way, nobody says anything. But if the kid that comes in with a down south accent or New York accent, they're like, that's ghetto, that's this and that, or whatever they want to say. It's like, that's somebody's culture. You also gotta respect people's culture. If a guy comes in with an English accent, everybody's like, oh man, we love him, you know, but that's an accent too. There's a Chinese kid that comes in that barely knows English too. It's like, yo, that's an accent too. You know what I mean? Everybody
If a Jewish kid comes in with a yarmulke, nobody's going to be like, oh, he's wearing a hat. But if you go in a job interview with your fitted, it's going to be a problem.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not saying like we're going to be like, yo, we got to make the job with the hoodies and come in there with the Timbs. Like, no, we're not saying that. I'm saying like, just appreciate other people's culture. right? Because out here, what happens is that everything that everybody else does and the way how they are, the way how they speak, everything is applauded, right? Everything give it an applaud, right? But when it comes to Blacks and Latinos, they just like, nah, you have to be Obama out here. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the reasons why I don't like Obama. I'm not going to like him because this dude is so washed up. Like, it's you don't even know what's his race.
No, you close your eyes. You think you're listening to Ronald Reagan or somebody.
Like, this guy cannot be himself. And this is how, when you work at these companies as a Latino, African-American kid, you in there like, yo, hold on, man. I can't be myself out here. I got to be somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, your name is Terrell. No, your name is Sean. No, my name is Terrell. No, your name is Sean in here. That's it. You got to keep it like that. And it's not right. It's not right because, and also going back to what you said, you know, of the thing of checking boxes, is like we got 40 Indian kids, 32 Chinese kids, and then we have one Black kid. Don't you think that's a little bit weird? That why is there just one Black kid in there? And we could go back, like I said, back to like education and all the opportunities and everything. But at the same time, it's like, why is that? Why is it that, you know, for a lot of these companies, they're like, hey, man, we got minorities. You know, it doesn't matter which one, but there's minorities in here. You know, it's like, what people don't understand is that having all type of cultures and all type of races in an environment is actually good because now you can create products for everybody. If you come in and you only have, you know, Lil Billy from the Upper East Side, you know, Lil Zhang from freaking Flushing, Yamesh from freaking Briarwood, right? Now, those are the only people that can give you and advice to like their own communities, but now you just left out a couple of other communities that you still need to serve. You get what I'm saying? And now you don't know how to do it because nobody can give you the right feedback. It's like the thing with the Gucci, right? Like everybody flipping out on Gucci, right? If they had one Black person in there, the one Black person would have given them the face them. When they're putting the freaking, I don't know if you've seen the sweater, the Gucci sweater, where it's like a Gucci sweater all Black with the big round red lips all around it. One Black person would have been in there. He would have just said, he don't have to say nothing. He would have just said, I don't know about that one, you know. But because they don't have people in there that can represent and can say, hey man, you know what, I don't know if that will fit right. Then at the end of the day, now they lose out. Now they lose in business. Nobody wants to wear Gucci, right? And it's hurting their brand. It's the same thing there was a company, a startup, 2x Google developers, which I hate when people come in because and they only say that. Because I could come in and say, I'm an ex developer from this company, ex developer from this other company. I hate when people come in and just say, ex Google developer, like these guys are the best. These guys are just, they happen to freaking finesse the game. And they got into the company, right? Yeah,
it's crazy too, because it's like, what were you doing at Google?
Yeah. Dudes
out here at Google, like, what was happening there?
Dudes is out here fixing up menus on Gmail. Like, anybody could do that, bro. Like, calm down. So dudes walk around with a chip on the shoulder, like, hey, ex-Google developer, right? So they created a startup called Bodega. And then what they did was, their plan was to create this smart vending machine that they wanted to put it in all the buildings in New York City. Pretty much every snack, everything that you need, that all the stuff that you go to the store for, they
wanted to put the bodega out of business.
Put the bodega out and call it bodega. And then on top of that, the logo was a cat. You know how there's always a cat in the bodega. It's like, bro, like if you had one Spanish person in there, they would have told you, bro, this is such a bad idea because you're freaking... And I hate using that word. What is it?
Appropriation.
Like, I don't even like that shit. I don't even like saying that word because it sounds dumb. But this is like one of those situations where it's like, bro, you're fucking going into somebody's community, freaking closing, hoping to close down all their small businesses and then use their name and their likeness to make money for yourself. Because people already have, you know, created.
They already know what a bodega is.
What a bodega is. You know what I mean? How dare you? You know what I mean? Like, anybody would have came in and said, bro, you bugging. Like, don't do that. Call it the Billy box. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. The bento box or whatever. You know, but you can't call it bodega when you actually cutting out all the bodegas to make sure they don't exist. It's like, it doesn't make sense, man. But let's jump into the next thing. I wanted to ask you, so how the hell did you decide to go to, like, Puerto Rico? Like, how did that happen?
So I was working at Founders, and then Hurricane Maria happened, right? And then I found a problem that was, like, bigger than myself. And me and a buddy of mine, shout out to Eufemio Perez, we went and we bought, like, pallets of water, and we loaded them up on a truck, and we dropped them off at a location, and they sent them over. And at that time, I actually did a Facebook Live, and I posted the Facebook Live on Founders. And one of the dudes at Founders, again, I don't want to be racist, but one of these white boys at Founders that had worked with me, he's like, oh, that's political. Why are you posting that? I'm like, bro, what's political? I didn't say Trump's name once. All I said is, yo, we donating water. You should donate some water. Literally all I said, people are thirsty. There's no water. Make a donation. All we said. And so whatever, I posted it, and then we look on the news, and 2-3 months later, the power's still not coming back on, the water's not getting distributed, and then I linked up with a dude called David, and he came down to New York City. He went to an app release party for a friend of mine that has an app. Shout out to Hugo Sanchez. And we started talking, and he's like, bro, I'm down here in Puerto Rico. I've been living here for 8 years. I'm helping people. I have a truck, and I'm just going from city to city dropping off water. And he was like, FEMA's not giving the water out, bro. FEMA's not giving none of the shit that you guys sent. FEMA's not giving it out. So I was like, all right, fuck that. We got to go out there. So thankfully to him, he was like, all right, bet. When are you coming out there? Right? So we start talking about the different problems, and then he brings up the economy. He's like, bro, the thing you don't realize, our whole economy is based off of tourism. People come down to Puerto Rico because they want to go to something beautiful. They want to go to a beach. They want to get married. They want to go on their honeymoon. They want to go on their bachelor party. You know what I mean? This is a destination for vacations. Mm-hmm. Nobody's coming no more. Even though, like, the capital city where the tourists go, they did turn the power back on in that city in the first, like, it still took like 2 months. So the capital had power, but still nobody was going. Everybody was scared to go. So that messed up the economy. Everybody's losing jobs. So for me, I'm thinking like you. I'm like, bro, could be selling stuff on Amazon. You could be selling stuff on eBay. You can make a website. Like, there's so much stuff. As long as you got Wi-Fi, there's so much stuff that you could do as long as you got Wi-Fi. So I'm like, dude, we got to build, like, a coding school. We got to, like, bring technology education, like, down here and give these kids an opportunity to learn. And then the next thing he starts talking about is that there's no power in 50% of the island. So I'm like, bro, we need solar panels. There's mad sunshine down there. Mm-hmm. So long story short, we plan a trip a week later. Bro, I don't even speak Spanish that well. Mm-hmm. Like, I speak bodega Spanish. Like, yeah. I order my shit. I go to the block and pop. Like, I could, like, get a girl's number. Like, my Spanish is mad basic.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been to Puerto Rico in, like, 20. No. I have been as a tourist. But, like, I hadn't really been there in 20 years since my grandfather died. I used to come when I was a kid. And then when my grandfather died, I stopped going. So I had only been there like once or twice for vacation. I didn't really know the island. But thankfully for David, he showed me around the island. And a week later, I came. And then I started getting different friends. And everybody, I would be in the bodega. I would be at the store, wherever. Yo, I'm going to Puerto Rico to help Puerto Rico. You want to come with me? Yo, come with me. You got to come buy your ticket right now. And I got like 5 or 6 people to come with me. Shout out to my man Jimenez. He donated 300 protein cookies. Shout out to my man Hugo Sanchez. He donated 300 solar panel lights. And then Shout out to Crazy Legs and all the other people. Angie Martinez, Fernando and his team at Guru. Mad people came together. And we went all around the island and we gave away 300 solar panel lights, food, water, supplies. And I went down there. When I got there the first day, I rented an Airbnb. The Airbnb literally didn't have power half the day. We would have power for 6 hours and it goes out for 6 hours. And like, there was barely no water. The water would like drip out of the faucet. And all the people that came with me, they're like, yo, what do we do? Like, what are we doing? And I'm just like, yo, we out here. And then that became the slogan for my company, Disrupt. Our slogan is we out here. Because it's like, I don't have a plan. I don't know exactly how we're going to make it work, but we out here. We took the flight, we took the risk, and we came out here. So we did the trip. We linked up with David. We gave away all the lights. And then people started seeing what we was doing. And that's how I met my co-founder, Super Manny. He DMs me like 2 days before the flight. He's like, yo, bro, if you ever need photo or video, let me know. Like, I'm a videographer. And I literally replied. I'm like, bro, will you come to Puerto Rico in 2 days? I didn't say, hey, what's up? How you doing? Fuck that. Yo, I'm going to Puerto Rico in 2 days. You coming or what? So I talked to him once over the phone, booked his ticket, and 24 hours later, we were on a flight going to Puerto Rico, and we met an hour before the plane. That was the first time we met. Wow. And, you know, he's Dominican, so he gets a vibe. He lived in DR for like 5 years, so he could relate. Mm-hmm. And so he creates this documentary. And mind you, he comes to Puerto Rico. He pulls out of his suitcase a monitor. And I'm like, okay, cool. You got your setup. And then a laptop, and the screen on the laptop is broken. He's like, hold up, I gotta plug this shit up real quick. And he's freaking made the first documentary on this crazy ghetto ass laptop. And we put the documentary out there. Then people started giving like little donations. We didn't really raise much. We raised like $300. But people started giving donations on GoFundMe. And then more people flew down. So people saw what we were doing. It was like, yo, I want to be involved. And like people flew down that never even met me before. And we linked up with this nonprofit called Veterans for PR. They were all Army veterans, so they were going to FEMA and getting them to release supplies, and then they created their own supply distribution center. In the beginning, we were just buying water. I was just legit going to Walmart, going to freaking CVS, whatever, just buying cases of water and then driving into these towns that are mad far from the capital and just giving them out, where people didn't have water and didn't have light. And then eventually, like I said, we hooked up with this nonprofit. And then I knew that at that point, I wanted to move down here full time. I wanted to like make this my passion and my mission. So when I got back to New York, I was supposed to be down there for like a week. It turned into like 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks. And when I get back to New York, I was literally in New York for like 2 weeks. And then there was a opportunity to go back to Puerto Rico to go to the blockchain week, which was like they threw this big cryptocurrency conference down in Puerto Rico. A friend of mine bought my ticket for me. He's like, all you need to do is show up. He's like, the hotel is at the Vanderbilt. It's booked. The conference ticket is booked. Just buy your plane ticket and you're good. And you're going to meet the mayor. You're going to meet the governors. You're going to network with people. Like, this is where you need to be in the world. So shout out to Ray Thomas. He was very gracious to see the vision that I had inside of me and gave me that second opportunity to come like not literally 2 weeks later. And at that point, I was like, yo, I got to quit my job. I can't. Like, it was my birthday weekend the first time, so I got away with it. I hadn't taken a vacation in a year. So I'm like, yo, this is my vacation. And then literally 2 weeks later, I was going back. I was like, all right, this is I don't want to do this to these people. Like, because I could have done it. I work remote. So I could have done it and been like, yo, I'm working, whatever. But I was I can't do this to these people. So I literally called my business partner, Gerard Adams. I literally called him in the airport on the way to go back the second time. And I'm like, yo, bro, we got to talk. And I'm like, yo, listen, I'm grateful. I met so many amazing people at Founders. Like, I'm super, super grateful for the opportunity. And I think at that point, he knew what time it was. And, you know, I was like, however this conversation ends, I just want to start it off with gratitude. And I was like, yo, for no other reason, the day I met you, I quit smoking cigarettes. The day I met you, I was smoking cigarettes for 20 years, bro. The day I met this dude, I had quit. I built an app for him to see. He was smashed, souped up about the app. He's going on Instagram Live. He's showing it off. And then we go outside after the presentation, and I light a cigarette. What I always do, I'm outside. And one of the dudes comes up to me. He's like, bro, why are you smoking? You got so much to live for, bro. So the next day, that night, I get in the car and we went out. We had a couple of beers. And then I'm with my boy and we're both in our cars. And I'm like, bro, you got too much to live for. The next day, I looked at my pack of cigarettes. I didn't touch it. And for 6 months, I would wake up. I never touched the cigarettes for 6 months. I would just look at them and be like, I got too much to live for. And then I'd walk out the door and I wouldn't touch them. And that's it. I quit fucking cold turkey after that. So I was like, yo, listen, if for no other reason, I'm grateful for that. and I'm grateful for everything else, and I'm going to leave, but I got your back. I will help support you. I'll help you transition, like whatever you guys need. Like, I got you. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I moved down to Puerto Rico. I started my company called Disrupt. I had to bounce back and forth a little bit in the beginning because I had to like get rid of my apartment. It was crazy. I had just bought a brand new apartment. It was dope. I had fucking 70-inch flat screen, smart TVs, Amazon Alexa in the whole house, fucking art on the wall, brand new bedroom set, brand new furniture. Like, I had, my life was set. Like, I was comfortable as hell. And then I got rid of all my stuff, put it all in storage, and then I moved to Puerto Rico. In the first month, I lived in a little shack. Like, you was talking about behind the scenes, like, trying to make it work, trying to figure out who's legit in real estate, who's the real people. But yeah, it was basically, there's a saying, and it's called burn the ships, right? Okay. So there was a war that was happening, and there was like three ships, and they're going on the beach, and they're fighting. And the general put the three ships on fire, and he told the soldiers, either you win the war or you fucking die, because I burned the ships. There's no turning back. Right? And so I knew that's what I had to do. I couldn't leave. In the beginning, I was like, oh, well, I'll leave my apartment, and then I'll go to Puerto Rico, and I'll go back and forth. And I was still living in New York for like a couple of months. And I'm like, bro, I can't do this no more. I'm living a lie. I got to be in Puerto Rico. And then the power went out again. So like the power in the beginning was 50%. It was getting 60, 60, 70, 70, 80, 80, 90. And then boom, the whole power dropped again. And when the whole power dropped, it went out for like 2 days. And my boy called me and I'm like, bro, what am I doing here? I'm not supposed to be here. And so at that point, I knew what I had to do. So I got rid of all my furniture. I got rid of everything. I sold my TV. I sold whatever I could sell. I gave away whatever I could give away. And that's it. I moved down here.
Nice, nice, nice. Damn, son, that shit is a journey. I'm like, yo, I'm thinking about it because it's like I've been wanting to like just bounce and go somewhere. Like, I know Puerto Rico, that shit must be lovely though. Like, to be living there, like it's like you feel you back home, you back to the motherland. You know, yeah. It's like,
nah, but for sure. I mean, even when the lights was out, I was looking around. I'm like, bro, the lights are out, but like this place is beautiful, bro. Like, even with the lights out, this place is beautiful. Like, it doesn't even matter. You know, you get lost and you're in paradise. Like, everywhere is a paradise. Mm-hmm. You know, the island's really small, so you're never more than like 20 minutes away from a beach. You know, even if you're in the dead center of the island, you're still only 30 minutes away from the beach either way that you go. You know, so like.
And how is it now? How's everything now, like, over there? Like, how's the, you know, with the lights, with the infrastructure? How is it?
Definitely. So I get that question a lot, man. I'm happy to report that, you know, it's been over a year now and everything is back to normal, bro. Everything's back to normal. Tourism is picking up, a lot of people coming in, and it was almost like a blessing in disguise. And I don't want to discount any heartache, misery, trauma. People's lives were lost. Like, it was an atrocity, but at the end of the day, every failure then becomes a new beginning. So now the island's going through a renaissance. People are starting new businesses here. There's a section called Calle Luisa. That's where I lived when I first moved here. And dude, it's popping. There's all these restaurants and bars and lounges, all new businesses. Like, if you went through there a year ago, even when I moved here, if you went through there, it was like a couple of restaurants, but a lot of abandoned buildings. And bro, in the past year that I lived here, all new restaurants, bro, they opened the Irish pub in Puerto Rico. There's an Irish pub. There's a Korean barbecue spot. Like, the whole neighborhood is regentrifying and revitalized. And everybody, basically what Hurricane Maria did is it shined the light on Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico was fucked up before the hurricane. The economy was fucked up. The jobs were fucked up. The whole country's in debt. There was a lot of messed up things in Puerto Rico. And so while the hurricane was horrible, and again, my condolences to anyone who lost their lives, the 4,000 people that lost their lives, I don't want to discount that. We were still blessed with publicity. And now that publicity is bringing new business, bringing new industry. There's actually a tax incentive. If you move down here, you can pay 0% capital gains. So that means if you own your own business, or if you do stocks and you do trading, Or even if you're a freelancer and you get paid on a 1099, people don't know you are owning your own business. If you own your own business, there's a way to pay 0% taxes by moving down here from the States. Now, you have to apply for it. There's a process, like everything. But there's a way to do that. And so then, and that's been around since 2012. It's been an incentive to stimulate the economy. And it's called Act 20, Act 22. And so there's tons of people that are now moving down here. A lot of these people are my friends, millionaires and billionaires that are now moving down here and creating new lives and creating new ecosystems down here. So I'm very positive for the future of Puerto Rico. If we want to talk about the infrastructure, so we still have the oldest energy grid in the United States. And this was the biggest blackout ever in United States history. It was like really, really bad. So I don't want to discount it. But as far as the energy grid, right now we're at 99.9%. And the only reason that 0.9, there may be one or two towns on the main island. And then the island of, not Culebra. Culebra might also have problems. But basically there's little islands that are next to us that are part of Puerto Rico. And a lot of those are still on backup generators, you know, so they have power, but they don't have power. They're burning diesel constantly to keep those islands alive. And like I said, in the island itself, there might be one or two small towns, like inside the hills, like in the mountains and stuff that still have outages, but we're at 99.9. You go everywhere. Everything's open for business. There's Walmart, there's Costco, there's movie theaters. Like, it's back to normal. If you're looking to vacation or even if you're looking to move down here, shoot me a DM. Let me know. Reach out to me. I'll be more than happy to show you around. It's a beautiful place to live.
No, that's hot, man. I mean, I might take you on that offer to go for like a weekend and be like, yo, I'm gone for the week. You know, I'll be back, ma. You know?
You come through, bro. Yo, so I live right now. I live in a three-bedroom, three-bathroom penthouse. It's freaking gorgeous. I got two guest bedrooms. So anybody that, like yourself, anybody that comes through, I always have the ability to host them. And yeah, I got a pool, tennis courts. I'm living a beautiful life. And for what you would pay in New York, it's like you would get like a one bedroom apartment. And I'm out here living good. You know what I mean? So I'm super blessed, man. I'm super happy to be out here. And then, like I said, the nice thing about it is it's almost part of the United States. I tell people it's like going to Florida. It's a 3-hour plane ride. You don't need a passport to come, and it's United States currency, and your phone doesn't go on roaming. So you come down here and it's just like going to Florida, except you are in a tropical, beautiful place in the Caribbean. You know what I mean? So you have these amazing beaches. You have these beaches that you go and like they're so secluded and you feel like you're in the Bahamas somewhere, you know? But then you also do have a city. The roads are paved very well and you still have some of that American infrastructure. So it's definitely a beautiful place, man. And like I said, I would love to have you come down here. We actually got an event coming up on October 25th. So I would love for you to come down here and speak at the event.
I'll definitely swim by. I'll go down there, man. I don't even know, because I right now I'm thinking about going to Florida, but you just told me you don't need a passport over there. I might go and spend June down there. So right now I'm in the middle of like planning this whole trip to either Florida. I mean, I have everything already set for Florida, but I'm thinking like, yo, you know what, maybe I could spend July in Puerto Rico, you know, spend June in Florida, July in Puerto Rico, come back in August. Like, yo, we back.
Yep. And that's a beautiful thing because right now you live in that laptop lifestyle. So you have the freedom to do what you want, live life on your own terms. You know what I mean? And that's the one thing that I really realized when I first moved down here, I was a block away from the beach. So I would wake up in the morning and I would go in the ocean and I would watch the sunrise from the ocean. Wow. And even though I was living in a shack. Like, I was literally living in, I was renting one room from a dude, and there was a little ass hole of a window, like a half a window for ventilation, and I had a giant fan on it trying to get some air in. It wasn't happening. And so it was bad. It was rough. You know what I mean? But I was blessed. I could walk to the beach every morning, bro. And I'm like, yo, why am I living this life in New York City? Like, why am I dealing with pollution? Why am I paying a high rent for no reason? Why is everybody not down here? You know what I mean? Why is the rent so cheap? The rent should be more because everybody should be down here. But we're so stuck in that rat race, that mentality of 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 9 to 5. you know? And the fucked up thing is with AI and automation, bro, if you're not coding, you're going to be out of a job, bro. Accountants, mm-hmm. your job is over. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. QuickBooks is way too smart. QuickBooks could do the whole taxes. You don't need nobody. Like, mm-hmm. the only person that you're going to need an accountant, the high level. You know what I mean? Donald Trump needs an accountant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bill Gates needs an accountant. Man, regular people don't need no accountants.
Yeah, no. You just come in, put in the numbers.
There's a little app. The app talks to you. Oh, hi. My name is Mr. QuickBooks. Yeah. And the fucking app does everything for you. And it's the same thing. All these jobs are getting replaced. Tesla just came out with a car that drives this. A truck.
A truck, yeah.
Freaking tractor trailer. You know how many jobs that is? You know how many of my friends?
That's the majority of the United States. That's the most, the position that has the most jobs out there for people working right now. I was like looking into that because, like I told you, I was doing this advertising where I'm actually talking about all of that. Like I go into showing people like, hey, if you're in this industry, you're pretty much, you need to start thinking about changing careers and learning something that's going to be for the future. You know, you don't want to be that guy in 1886 walking around with a horse when the car just got invented. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know what's coming. That car is about to replace every freaking cart horse that you have out here. It's like, you got to be smart. You got to start buying yourself some cars. You know, it's the same thing for people. You see, the jobs are not going to be there. So start learning things that's going to help you get those jobs and those future positions. And, you know, I think coding, it just opens doors. And even at that, like, there's people that learn how to code and get into marketing, get into design, get into a whole bunch of different fields that's connected to the tech industry. But if you don't know how to get into the tech industry or how to get, like, an introduction in there, you're going to be the guy out here, you know, like walking around with a tiki torch, you know, mad because there ain't no jobs. The coal mining is not coming back. The fucking, you know, the guy complaining like, hey, man, my grandfather had a job. My dad had a job. I don't have a job. Start studying some shit that fucking is going to give you a job. You know, there's people that's doing like psychology and dumb shit like that, but don't want to be a psychologist. So it's like you're taking a degree that's not going to get you anywhere. You know what I mean? It's like there's a lot of people that do that and go even to college and don't study things that the long term makes sense. You know, so.
Well, that's why I think it's so important what you do. You know what I mean? Because you're giving people education for a job that is going to be there in 20 years. And like I said, like we were talking about earlier, like you're doing it in your authentic voice. So people mm-hmm. are going to relate to you that they couldn't relate to other people that are teaching, bro. So please keep teaching, keep doing what you're doing, because I know you're probably having a bigger impact than you even realize on people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's one of the reasons why I continue to do this. Is like there's days that I'm like, man, I'm so tired. I'm like, whatever. I want to hang out with my kids and stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm like, yo, you know what? I'm doing something for a purpose. You know, like there's people that's going to come here and going to see this, you know, a year, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. I'll be like, man, Joe, I got this job because of you. I'm able to provide for my family. You know, like the other day, somebody sent me an email that touched my heart because I know how that person feels. This guy sent me an email. He's like, yo, Joe, this is the car I just got to buy. Thank you so much. I got hired. I got my first car and this and that. And I was like, man, I know why that kid feels like that because I was in the same position. I was like, yo, I was going to be on the bus, the Q39, hopping on the M train, you know, doing transfer to the L train to hop on the Ford train to go uptown. Like, I was that guy. So for you to be able to be more comfortable and we don't have to be millionaires and rich, right? If those things come, that's a blessing. But being able to live like a regular human being, be able to have the things that's going to make your life more comfortable, that's the blessing that you really want to get to. You know what I mean? So if you get a good job that provides everything that you need, you're going to be good. You know, I was watching this documentary where they were talking about in Africa, if you live in a village and you have a cell phone, you have more opportunities than everybody else in that whole village because they don't have a cell phone. Now, if you have a bicycle, you have more opportunity than everybody in the whole town. There's guys that's working the whole year just to buy one bike of $200. That's how bad people have it over there, right? Where it's like, just by having that bicycle, it gets you from point A to point B. So now you could go farther distances to find work and be able to bring back money to your family. It's the same thing as like a car here in the US, right? For me, when I was living in Queens, I was just doing public transportation. Once I got to become a developer, I was able to buy my own car and be able to travel and go outside of New York. Now I'm working at Long Island. From there, from Long Island, I'm able to say, you know what? Now I want to move to Connecticut. Now, if I want to say, hey, I want to move to Massachusetts and I want to work in Hartford, I can do that because I have those opportunities, right? And little things like that is what gives your life meaning and more comfortable for yourself. And just learning to code, it just changes your life. You know, you go from one thing to another. It's like baby steps. It's like if you don't know anything and you never walked, like you got to go one step at a time. You know, it's like me. My first 2 years, what I did was I came in, I started saving money. I started cleaning up my credit, paying off everything that I used to owe from before, you know, and it took like on my third year, then now I was above water. So everything that was coming in, it wasn't me paying debt, paying credit cards or paying anything. It was just saving it to the bank account. Now I'm doing passive income. Whatever I'm working, whatever I'm getting from my job, everything that's passive income, now I get to save it straight to the bank. And that's how you start building wealth. And then now you have those opportunities. There's people that come in and say, man, you know, you could go into drop shipping and this and that. But if you don't have money to advertise, you can't get into that game. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like somebody who says, man, you should open up a business. You should open up a store. This person doesn't have $20 in his pocket. He can't open up a shop and say, hey, I got $8,000 to open up a store. You know, you don't have those opportunities. So you have to build yourself up little by little. And to me, learning how to code, it just opens the doors for you. It just completely opens the doors because there's good income coming in. And then now you can set yourself up for success, you know? So,
no, absolutely. And you got to be willing to hustle. You know what I mean? Like I said in, at the top of the show, like, dude, I was going into local businesses. Knock, knock, knock. Yo, I'm selling websites. $500. Oh, you don't have 500? How about 200? Oh, you don't have 200? How about 100? Bro, mm-hmm. I built websites for $100, bro, when I was first getting started. Give me $50 now, and I'll come back next week when the website's done, and I'll give you another 50. Mm-hmm. That's how real it was. But yeah, no. I knew I could bang out that website in 2 hours. I wouldn't come back in 2 hours because I'm not going to show him it took 2 hours. I'm going to pretend it took a week so he could feel happy. So I'll be like, all right, cool. Give me $50 now. I got you. I'm going to come back. Boom, I'll go home, I knock the website out, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to go back. Today's Tuesday, da-da-da. All right, I'm going to go back on Saturday. Make it look like it took long. Yo, here you go. Yo, it's done. Let me get the other 50. Literally. Mm-hmm. Literally, because I was hungry. I wanted to, but it's a skill that it allows you to do that. It allows you to create. And now, dude, I built websites for $50,000 for one website. $50,000. But why is that? It was because I built all the $50 websites, $100 websites, $500 websites, and now I have that experience, and I stand on top of that. You know what I mean? And people don't know how to stand on top of their experience. I was telling these kids in Puerto Rico, I work with the University of Arecibo. Oh, so real quick, plug myself.
Mm-hmm.
So we throw these huge events out in Puerto Rico. It's called Disrupt Puerto Rico, and the last one we did was called Disrupt Yourself. And we fly in all these influencers from all around the world. They all come to Puerto Rico. And then we sell tickets to people from the States, but then we give away free tickets to the kids from the university. Mm-hmm. So I have these kids from the university that I mentor, and they were in my house the other day. And I was telling them, I was like, yo, it doesn't matter how much you're getting paid. Well, your experience is how you get paid. How much heart and soul you put into it is how you get paid. It's not how much they're paying you. You're going to spend the money. But are you going to be able to go to the next job and say, yo, I did a great job. I made them $1 million. That's why you should hire me, is because I get results. That's your real payment, because that goes into yourself. And then you stand on the experience. You know what I mean? I wasn't able to get $1,000 website until I built a couple of $500 websites. I wasn't able to get a $10,000 client until I did a couple of $1,000 clients. You know what I mean? And I got my experience and I had results to show. You know, and I feel like people nowadays, they're so privileged, like you was mentioning, they see, oh, you get 100,000 as soon as you come out of the coding boot camp. Like, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. You got to pay your dues, you know? And if people were willing to pay their dues, they would get so much, so much farther, you know? I could have been fancy. I could have said, yo, I'm not moving to Puerto Rico until I got the condo that I want. I'm not going to move. I'm going to wait. I'll probably still be in New York right now. Yeah, but I said, no, I don't care. I'm going to go on Craigslist. Whatever crackhead apartment I'm going to get for the first month is only the first month. And I went and I rented it. And then when I was in that place, I looked for the next place. Went into that place. Didn't really like it, but it was an upgrade. Boom, 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 boom. Now I found the place where I'm at now. You know what I mean? So it's steps. It's levels. And it doesn't take forever. I haven't even been here a year yet since I took that first step and I was living in the freaking shack. It hasn't even been a year and I leveled myself up. Boop, 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 boop. But people are scared. They're scared to jump, you know?
Yeah, no. Hey, I was going to ask you, so Disrupt, what exactly is Disrupt? What exactly is it that you guys do? Because I see you all the time on Instagram. I know you have the meetings, but how, you know, like give me like a rundown. What is it that you do exactly right now in PR?
All right, so we have two parts of the company, first and foremost. One of them is a for-profit, and then one of them is a nonprofit. So we have the Disrupt Foundation, and we do a lot of stuff through the foundation. And then we have Disrupt Digital, which is like my media company. But both of those companies have the same mission. So as an organization, we exist to empower the next generation of developers, thought leaders, creators, and entrepreneurs to learn new skills, grow their careers, chase their passions, and create financial freedom. So that's our mission. Now, we do that in a couple of different ways. So we do that through our marketing agency. So if people want a website to get built, they want an app to get built, they want video content, social media content, any type of digital skill is not only coding. We do apps though, but any type of digital skill that people need, they can come and hire us. And then we hire local people here in Puerto Rico to do the job.
Oh, that's hot.
We have people with experience that oversee them. I oversee all the jobs and make sure they get done correctly. But if you need a Shopify store built, you need an app built, we do that. We do work for hire. So that's our for-profit business. Then we have our nonprofit, the Disrupt Foundation. And in the foundation, we have two things that we do. So we do events. We do like in-person experiences. We do boot camps and workshops. And then we do we have a project that we're working on called Disrupt University, which hasn't formally launched yet. We have a few people in it that's beta, where we teach people skills. But my vision for Puerto Rico is and shout out to Summer. She's a very talented architect. She actually designed the school. My vision for Puerto Rico is a school, a physical location called the Disrupt University. All solar panels on top, green, renewable. God forbid the power grid ever went down, this building would be reliable. And it's a university mixed with a startup ecosystem. So it's like almost like a WeWork mixed with like a General Assembly. And it'll be a place where people can learn to code. It'll be a place where people can learn marketing, learn videography, learn all these digital skills for the new economy. Right now, the educational system is broken. I'm sorry. I went to college and I dropped out. I listened to Cameron back then. Cameron said, I'm going to go to college for 4 years, get out, get paid $30,000. How the fuck am I supposed to go to Miami five times a year doing that dumb shit? Right? Yeah. And it's the truth. You know what I mean? We've been sold a lie. Like the whole college, I got a friend of mine. She went to school to be a lawyer. She got out. She was being a lawyer for 1 year. She's $200,000 in debt, and she hates being a lawyer. But now she's stuck being a lawyer so she could try to pay off that debt. And I got news for you. You think a lawyer makes a lot of money? Not the first year. You make it $50,000, mama. $50,000 if you're lucky, maybe $60,000. You know? So we've been sold a lie. We've been sold a really, really big lie. Our educational system is freaking broken. So the Shrub is on a mission to fix that. So right now what we're doing is what we call augmented education. So we're not going in and saying we're the university. We're not there yet. But we're going in and we're augmenting it. So we go and we do workshops in the universities here. We go and do events with the kids, with the communities. We just spoke at a high school recently. Like, and we go and we add something. So it's like, okay, your education system is here. It's great. I don't want to take it down, especially not in Puerto Rico. It's really needed. But how can we add something on top of it? How can we add some flavor? How can we go in and do a coding workshop? How can we go in and do a blockchain workshop, right? And actually add something to the existing educational system. So yeah, we're working right now with Microsoft and the Secretary of Education for the whole island of Puerto Rico. And we're working to add additional workshops into the education system down here.
That's hot, man. You know, sign me up for whatever you guys need. Sign me up, you know, because I'm like, that's pretty much what I want to do here, man. Right now, I have in here in this Coding Phase headquarters, I have a couple of junior high schools that want me to bring in kids and, you know, I'll tutor them, like just give them like, you know, once or twice a week, you know, from 5 o'clock to 6:30, teach them something new and, you know, not making any money, no, nothing, not even donations, but just like, just to help people out, man. And if you're already on the process, like you're already working with schools out there, like, man, you're so much ahead of like, that's pretty much what I want to do. So you're like so much ahead of where I'm at right now out here in Connecticut. Well, so that's together, pretty cool, man.
That's what it's about, man. Working together, making an impact.
Yeah, man. That's so freaking cool. I'm like, I'm blown away right now. I'm like, damn, it's crazy. You're freaking doing the what I want to do here. You're doing it in Puerto Rico. And like, that's so hot because it's like you're seeing an opportunity. And at the same time, you just went for it. You know, like there's times where, like I was telling you earlier, like I wanted to go to DR and sort of do the same thing over there. But it's so corrupt in DR. So I said, I'm going to take a hold right now until I could do it properly. But like, it's crazy. Like, you could just go down there and do what you have to do. And, like, that's, you know, that's so much respect for me, man. You know?
Thank you.
And it really helps out because, like, there's kids that and people that you're working with that you don't even know how much you're affecting them and helping them so much that a year, 2 years from now, you're going to see the fruits of that. You know what I mean? The kid that just came in and he was like a little bit nervous. He didn't know if he wants to get into it. Now he becomes a developer, comes in, works at a company and comes back and helps his whole family. You know, and that's just how it is. Like people don't see that's the real trickle down effect. You know, when people talking about, oh, no, if, you know, you have the rich people and the rich people will hire the poor people. No. If you help the people at the bottom, that trickles down to the community and to everybody else. That idea that's like, oh, if you're rich, you give them jobs. And it's like, nah, the guy that's on top, he just want to make as much profit as possible and exploit whoever's down here.
But, no, I know rich people. They don't want to even hire people no more.
Yeah.
The rich people, I know they're like, how can we get automation? How do we get a robot to do this? Like straight up, like I talk to a lot of these dudes. They're like, I don't want to hire no one. I just want to create a company that works with robots. Like whatever, I'll hire the one guy that knows how to make robots and that's it. And yeah. I don't want to hire nobody else. Like they don't want to create jobs. That's bullshit. Like you said, they want to keep all the money for them.
Yeah. No, because it's like we live in this culture where let's say right now you say, okay, all I want to do is get a car. Then you get a car. Then you say, all I want to do is get a house. Now you got a house. But then once you get that house, you're like, wait, there's somebody out there that has a $10 million house. Okay, now I want to get the $10 million house. And then now you get that $10 million house. Now you want a $100 million house. So it just continues growing. And the only way for you to continue to grow is to cut down on whoever works for you. And just say, okay, how can we maximize this thing? You know, it's like some, like, let's say like Walmart, people that work at Walmart, they'll be like, oh, I can't do over 20 hours a week because then they have to pay you the benefits. So what Walmart does is like, okay, they'll hire you at this Walmart for 20 hours and then they'll hire you at another Walmart for 20 hours just to not give you the benefits or anything. Of like, oh, we don't got to pay for healthcare. And that's just to maximize the profit for them. You know what I mean? It's like the same thing what happened when like 2008 and the banks and everything. Everybody got paid off, right? But they're the ones that messed up the whole system, but they got paid off. But everybody that got fired from the bottom, nobody got any check coming in. You know what I mean? Like whole economy is down. Where's my check? You know what I mean? I lost the house. Where's my check? I lost my business. Where's my check? Nah. The ones on the top get to keep the most of it. So it's like, that's the world that we live in. And it's crazy. That's why I tell people, you gotta start thinking about, you know, try to help each other out, man. It's so important to help people out. And just leave an impact, because all the things you could try to accumulate everything, and at the end of the day, when you die, you die. That's it. Nobody cares if you bought 500 Lamborghinis. You know what I mean? Now, if you help 500 families, those people will continue to tell your story forever. So you become immortal by that, because now those families be like, man, there was this guy who gave us jobs, and now I'm able to feed my family. And your great grandfather used to work for this guy. So now you're like generations and generations, you know, people are grateful to what you did. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I look at it. I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to be immortal out here. Like, the day I die, I want people to remember me for something, not just to say, man, this guy, he was here for one generation. We don't know who the hell he is the next one. You know, you want to leave a legacy, and the best way is to really help out each other and just, you know, just constantly just bring people from the bottom, bring them to the next stage. You know, it's like I come here. The main reason I do all this YouTube thing is if there's a kid that's getting $14 at UPS and I'm able to get him to $25, $30 an hour, hey, man, I just helped him out to get to the next level, next class. You know, because all of this, I look at it as different classes. If you from $0 to $20,000, you're one class. $20,000 to $50, that's another class. $50,000 to $70,000, that's another class. $70,000 to $100,000, that's another class. If I can continue to grow you into the next step in the whole class system, I did my job, because now that is going to reflect to your kids and their kids if you do the right thing, you know? So. Definitely, man. But yo, Anthony, I think we're gonna put a hole right here. I think we've been here for what, like an hour and 40 minutes.
It's been
a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you again for having me on the show, brother. I appreciate it. I appreciate your time. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing, man. It's definitely a great look, man. You're inspiring a lot of people out there.
Yeah, definitely, man. Anthony, I'm gonna stay in contact with you so like that we could link up. Like I could take a trip over there and call it a business trip. Put that right.
Business trip. We'll do a podcast on my show. I got to get you on my show. We do a podcast out here.
Yeah, man. Take like 3-4 days out there. Like I've never been to PR, so I've been dying. You know, it's like I've been with so many Puerto Rican women. I might as well be Puerto Rican out here. You know what I mean? But it's like it's time to go back to the motherland now. You know, uh-huh. So.
I know that's
I definitely right. Gotta go out there for sure, man.
I'm literally leaving to New York tonight.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So I'm gonna be in New York. I'm taking a red eye and I'll be there tomorrow morning. And I'm going to see Eric Thomas, E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. He's doing an event we're in collaboration with Forbes. That's another thing about me. I'm a contributor for Forbes Tech Council. Look my article up, why I moved to Puerto Rico and why Puerto Rico is perfect for digital nomads. And then the next day there's an event at Ty Lopez. It's like a private event. So yeah, so I'm gonna be in New York City. Maybe we can link up while I'm out there. And then dude, whenever you want to come to Puerto Rico, let me know. I got your back.
Yeah, definitely. Let me know. Send me an email the exact dates and like what would be like a time frame where you could be free, because I know you gotta be moving around and this and that. Then I could just probably drive back to New York and go meet you over there. So like that we could really build a relationship. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna go to PR. Like so when I'm there, it's like, yo, bro, we in the block, get okay, vuelto rock, we in here, you know.
Now you know, sure, bro. I can't wait to get you out here. And now we gotta get some of them coding phases courses down here to the kids, man.
Yeah, man. Look, listen, that's another thing too. Whatever I can help out, you know, we do freaking some free coupon codes where it just right. Gives everybody access, you know. Whatever you know, for the kids that's out there, however I could contribute, yeah, hey man. You got the website's open access to whoever needs it out there. Cause I know that was another thing that I wanted to get into. I wanted to find like the right way to do it, to basically give free access to like really low income kids who want to get into this. So it's like you don't have that barrier, you know. It's like, man, because I know how it is when I wanted to do something, and then now you ask your mom, it's like, mom, let me get $10, let me use your credit card. Your mom's like, I don't know about that, kid. You know, it's like, hey man, let's help the kids out, you know. So definitely let's do it, man, for sure. But yeah, man, You already know, guys, it's your boy Joe back at it again, codingphase.com. Your boy is back, and I done did it again. Dab. All right.